The 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll read verses 17 through 30. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. See, the lily grows among the thorns. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. But as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, not his neighbor, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What a terrible thing. Sometimes we think maybe it's the cancer or something that did it. But maybe it was this attitude that did it. Now for the last several Wednesday nights, we've been speaking especially about the sufferings of Christ. And we'll conclude tonight with this concerning the Lord's Supper. Our first message had to do with finding life and losing it, and on the other hand, losing life, but finding it. When you set aside the things of this life to do the will of God, you really find life. And then we found how the sufferings abound in God's people if they walk with God. But then the consolation abounds also. You see, there's always the overbalancing blessing on the part of God. God will never lead you into sufferings if you'll trust him through it, that you won't recognize before it's over that it truly worked together for your good. And then we spoke of the fellowship of his suffering. This that is so special to me. I look at it and I know within my personal feeling I try to back away from it. But this was something that the Lord coveted, Paul coveted. And he realized that only as he suffered together with Christ would he reign with Christ. And then we spoke of the cup that is set on your right and left hand. Well, can you drink of the cup We mentioned the fact that there's only one way to get to the right and the left hand of the Lord, and that's to take the cup that's before him. Now, if you want God's best, you're going to have to be willing to take the cup that he gives you. Now, I'm pointed out and made clear that doesn't mean that we have to order our lives. We just simply have to embrace the life that he gives us. He knows exactly how to lead you and where to lead you and how to lead you, what to lead you to. He knows what will enrich you. He knows what will make your life the kind of life that one day you will be happy to have. But so many of God's precious people, we've come to a time when the help of man has seemingly increased to where we get in pressure and then we turn to man whose breath is in his nostrils. I have often told you how this special delivery man came to my door at midnight, virtually, in a snowstorm. Now, I could have turned to my mother and my dad. All I'd have had to have done was made a long-distance call, and I'd have had money. But I felt that God would have me trust him, and then I doubted that he was going to undertake. And yet that was one of the greatest and the sweetest victories that I ever had in my own personal life. And you can trust God. Now, in the substance of all of this, we come to the Lord's table, the supper of the Lord. And oftentimes, I try not to watch others because I have to leave it with you what you do. But then, on the other hand, I encourage you to be considerate and wise about coming to the Lord's table. I see little children, and maybe they are saved, but do they know what they're doing? Is it just a lark with them, something funny? I can't really say. But then, I know that there should be a respect. And there should be a holy hush about this time. And of course, there's a sense in which we do it all the time. But we have a special something in the Lord's Supper. It's a permanent memorial of Calvary. And its purpose, given of God, given of the Lord, and emphasized by the Apostle Paul, was to keep that unspeakable sacrifice in our midst and prevent it becoming something neglected or commonplace. There is something about this that you could be missing. And it's a lowly door into a most mysterious place. A place of wonderful precincts and unthinkable bitterness of sorrow. That's what we're remembering. That's what we are partaking of. And yet from it all comes the sweetest substance of soul and life. From the death, remember, you shew my death till I come. What a sweet thing. What a wonderful thing. Now there are tears in its silences, and yet there is about it a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I'm telling you the way it is to me and the way I feel it should be to you. and I hope it will be. So the question arises, how shall we come? I know there are those who come as to a battleground, forgetting that it's a feast, not a fight. That is, they are noisy, controversialist. They want to argue about something, rather than coming as hungry guests. Remember, this is that one thing that's for all of God's precious people. If he'd have said, make a memorial to me with so much gold or so many diamonds or so many rubies or so much money, it would have kept some of us out. But you understand, the rich can't take any more than the poor, and the poor can't be shut off with less than the rich. This is one thing that we can all do, and shoo his death till he come. You see, some look for something to criticize or complain about. What's she doing taking that? Why don't you watch your own long nose? It would be a shame that it would grow like Pinocchio's nose. But that's the way some noses are. Remember, the Lord will get you into the trouble. And you see, we're to examine ourselves, and thus let him eat, not refrain from eating. I had a man come to me one morning and said, Brother Hill, you ought not let so-and-so have the communion. And I said, well, I don't have anything to do with that. That's his business. I don't own the communion. That's his business. And I'd advise you to examine yourself and stop examining the other guy. See? So, precious hearts, we need to judge ourselves and leave the other fellow to the Lord. You see, I can't help the way some of you come. I can encourage you, I can exhort you, I can tell you how it ought to be done, but only I can be, by God's grace, pleasing unto the Lord. Now, we may be heated and quarrelsome, even defiant, and thus it becomes a meaningless thing to us, and we go away from it without blessing, and there ought to be a holy hush upon the person that comes in the proper way. Then there are those who get caught up in the administrative part of it, forgetting all about the true purpose of it. Oh, it's got to be taken at certain time, certain day, every day, whatever, whatever. And such leave the table without the holy glow in their souls that it should produce. And so without a proper understanding, they never know the meaning of the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We're God's sons, coming until we take it new with him in his Father's kingdom. I anticipate that. I told my daughter Nancy tonight in my office, I said, I trust when he calls for me, I'll not drag my steps. So how shall we come? Let us come as understanding supplants, realizing there is no room for boasting of personal merit. You see, there's only one way I come to this, and there's only one way you can come to this. That's by the grace of God. You're not coming down here because you're a little better than somebody else, because you didn't do what the other fellow did, or you did do what they wouldn't do. This, like everything from God, is a place of grace, but especially this is. There's only room to sing the wondrous song of redeeming grace at this place. I'm here because He loved me and gave Himself for me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I haven't merited something. I don't merit being here. I don't deserve being here. I never did. I never will. But I will be here. And I will be there. Because He hath loved me. And gave Himself for me. And I was a fool enough to accept it. I didn't always accept it exactly like it was, but more and more and more I'm beginning to understand how it really is. You see, I'm what I am by the grace of God, and you are too. You may think you're something, but you're nothing. You read that in the Bible, didn't you? They think they're something and they're nothing. You don't fool God. Be what you are. And so, this is not a place to show off our Pharisee robes of doing and don'ting, but rather a place like that of Joshua. I'm going to read that in the book of Zechariah, the 3rd chapter. You preachers, you know where this is. I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. That's what happened to me. And that's what happened to you if you are a Christian tonight. It was not of your own doing. Self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And that has to do with God's precious people, the same as the sinner. How drab and seedy all else looks compared to His robe of righteousness. And on top of that, it can be worked into the wedding garment. How wonderful it is. So again, I say, how shall we come? Well, let us come as a needy people who realize without Him we are neither anything nor can we do anything without Him. You heard that, didn't you? Did He tell the truth? Without me, you can do how much? Nothing. There's a lot that looks good in our eyes tonight that really is going to add up to nothing. Don't you know that? You read in the book of Revelation where Rome is leveled. And the merchants and the great men of the earth stood afar off and wept and cried and said, Alas, alas. For that great city has come to naught. I don't suppose God was very impressed with Michelangelo's Moses, was He? Huh? You see, He made the Moses. Now, if you ever see that, you're going to see a masterpiece of sculpture. And it is something that you marvel at the genius of the man. If you look at the Sistine Chapel, you'll marvel at the genius of those men. But God will see nothing in it that is worth saving. You see, without me, you can do nothing. You're nothing without him. You can do nothing without him. And so we need to come as needy people. As the branch, Jesus said, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. So, like Paul, however, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. How did Moses deliver the children of Israel? He had a rod. He didn't have atomic bombs and things, but he had someone back of that rod that could make an atomic bomb look like a firecracker. You realize that? Sure. Someone was back of that rod that had poured out the rivers. He could part them anytime he wanted to and the seas anytime he wanted to. He could turn the sun back as easy and easier than I can turn the hands back on that watch. How did Elijah do what he did? How did Samson do what he did? How did David do what he did? Why, he said, why, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. I run through a troop. I leap over a wall. He makes my arms like steel bands. Who guided the stone that killed Goliath? Who enabled him to go out and meet a bear and a lion? The same God that wants to enable you to do what he wants you to do. Now, you mustn't get the idea that he wants you to go over here in Africa and take on a bunch of lions or stand out there and wrestle one of them rhinos. See, that's foolishness. But he wants you to do what he wants you to do, and you can do. Don't say, I can't. You can. And so, precious hearts, I have to think, have we been bloodless or anemic in our service? You see, we want to do something as long as it don't cost us anything. As long as it don't put us out. As long as we feel good and rested. I haven't felt rested for 30 years. Today the world must see the lack of wonder in the church. You realize that a rock band can hold more promise for many a Christian than the Lord does? If we're his kinsmen, do you see our claim as presumptuous and a thing of pretense, or do we strike them as being real? The world can tell when you're real. I'm told the only authorized alpine rope has a red strand running through it from one end to the other. I've known this for years. It's been tested. You can go into the Alps with it. And I'll tell you, this has been tested. And you can meet anything with it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. We'll touch that Sunday morning. And so, remember he said, my body broken for you is bread indeed, and my blood shed for you is drink indeed. You see, we have to have fellowship with the broken body and the blood. And so we come as unimpressive weaklings. Paul said, Lord, take this from me. He said, Paul, I just can't do it. I love you too much. If I took this from you, you'd get exalted. Paul, I just want you to know what you know. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Oh, yes, Lord, then I'll therefore gladly glory in mine infirmities. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Oh, yes, we don't need more people. We don't need finer buildings. We don't need greater educations. We don't need more money. We need more Jesus. See? So we come as these unimpressive weaklings who are in ourselves devoid of all strength, and we cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Remember, in him we have not received the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And in the supper, we have a few crumbs and a few drops of grape juice. I'm convinced it should be wine. You couldn't get well drunken on grape juice. You might get so you couldn't see because you'd be so bloated. And you just remember Jesus made that wine. Now, I don't drink it. I don't have anything to do with it, because if it offend my brother to eat meat, I won't eat it by the grace of God. But in the supper, we have a few crumbs and a few drops. You see, there's nothing in this supper that will sustain or strengthen the physical body. One little crumb or two of bread, unleavened bread, little touch of grape juice. That's not going to make you strong, but this is giant's food. Don't you know that? Yes, this is giant's food. You think of it. Think of communion with him. And that's what this represents as we remember his death till he comes. And this represents the power of the resurrection. And it transforms the weakling into the strong Son of God, who go about doing that which can't be done, which they can't do, but they do it. You remember? Peter, John, disciples went up to the temple. Lame man said, give me something. Peter said, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, get up from there and walk. The man did. He ran, jumped. I would have too. You would have too. You can say, well, somebody gets a little bit excited. Well, I wouldn't do something like that. Oh, yes, you would if you ever got blessed like that. You better wake up. Maybe you haven't been blessed like you ought to yet. Huh? Because you can set as cold as an icicle don't mean that somebody else can't warm up. And so, you think a little bit. When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took note of them that they'd been with Jesus. That's the way it ought to be with us. People won't see in us some great striking somebody or something. Incidentally, Norton, I saw Sam yesterday. He was telling me how you talk to him. I said, well, Norton's prejudiced. Well, he said he thinks you are just the real preacher. He says he's going to come and get me and bring me to church. I think he would. So, pause a moment and look back over the road that we have come. Do I deserve to be here? Do you? Who took you out of the miry clay and put you on a solid rock, put a new song in your mouth? Who is it that strengthened your feeble knees and lifted up your head and your hands, which hung low many a time? Who was it that fought through the night times for you and caused you to triumph in his name? Oh, precious hearts, I think back to that time when I was defeated, a sinner heading toward the precipice, and no one to stop me. Oh, a complete failure. Yes, I can say with the prophet of old, hitherto hath the Lord helped. Up to you. Then I'll ask the question, how shall we go away from the feast? First, we go as heralds. He said, proclaim my death till I come. Do you realize there isn't a better thing in this universe to talk about? It's amazing how we can always talk about the weather, your health, and so on and so on, and the latest sporting events, and so on and so on. And my boy and my grandson and my granddaughter, and then sometimes it isn't very nice what we like to talk about. You get with some people, and the first thing they want to do is tell you about the weaknesses of someone else and the failures of someone else and what they did and didn't do. We're not heralds of that. We're heralds of this. We have the good news of the Lord's death and his resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the light, the true light, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Have you ever thought of the false lights? Have you watched these Jehovah's Witnesses, so-called, like serpents wiggling up and down the streets, and your Mormons, and on every corner, these false lights reaching out to people? And isn't it a tragedy? A tragedy that I have had Baptists to call me that had gotten into Christian Science and Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, whether it was a Baptist church that had never been saved or not, I don't know. I'm just saying the Baptist had to leave what they once believed. See? You think of the false lights everywhere. And we represent the true light, the only light. There aren't several ways to get to heaven. There's one name given among men whereby you must be saved. Paul emphasized this again and again in one way or another. And does it concern us that all about us are men and women, boys and girls, who follow a false light into the regions of the damned? Think of the illicit lights. The confusion that it brings. This world is in an awful, awful state of confusion. I listened to our president tonight. I had a tendency to agree with him and pray for the poor man. Then I listened to his opponent, who followed right after him, to tell you another story. You see, it's confusion. If you didn't know, what would you think tonight? I'm not a politician and don't care. God's going to have his way. But it's just like he said, let the communists get started down in Central America. It won't be long until they go on. You see, in the natural, if you had the sense of a louse, you'd want to put the fire out before it burned the forest. You see? And so may we ever do our best to lead these people to the birthplace of life's fountain. And Jesus told that religious Pharisee, that ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so, dear ones, it's in his death that he cried, "It is finished." And in his resurrection, we have the proof of every claim that he ever made. There is no other solvent for the sin of man. You can't get rid of it without the death of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. He died once and for all. And this works and nothing else works. And then quickly, secondly, let us go as covenanters. Precious hearts, ours is a new covenant. Oh, what a covenant. When he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. We have a covenant tonight that's sealed in the blood of God's own precious Son. And what a covenant it is. It's an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that will never be changed. It's a covenant that will last and last and last. And thank God I am a part of that covenant. Oh, yes. And this should put about us that it should give us something that will enable us to go with an assurance. Not a maybe so, not a, I've been accused. And they accused Jesus the same thing. Brother Hill thinks he has the only pipeline to heaven. You know what they think in El Paso, Lynn? Now, Brother Hill, now I had that said to me directly. You know what they think of you in El Paso? That you think you have the only pipeline to heaven. Well, I do. But I'm not the only fellow that can have it. You understand that? There are two pipelines to heaven. There's only one. There's only one name that God will recognize. He won't recognize Buddha. He won't recognize Muhammad. He won't recognize Joseph Smith. He won't recognize Mary Eddy Baker. You can go and pray and cut yourself and bleed and do anything, but you'll never get to God through Buddha. Everybody can come in the name of Jesus. Everybody. But you see, people don't like for you to have an assurance. They hated Jesus because he spoke of someone that had authority. I have no authority in what I say. It's what I say that he says. I'm not afraid to put my life up for this book. I am perfectly assured. I have the utmost confidence. I'm not the slightest shaky that this is the truth. Now, if you want to hate me for that, that's all right. You're just trying to excuse your own mamby-pamby ways. You want somebody to tell you you're somebody when you're nobody. You can be somebody in him. But you'll never be anybody without him. And so, this gives us a boldness and a confidence with the air of kingly courage. Thank God, manifesting the fact that we walk with God. You afraid to say that? And Enoch walked with God. And he was not. Well, if Enoch can walk with him, I can walk with him. You can walk with him. He's easy to walk with because he'll furnish all the ability to walk with him. He gives you the righteousness to make you worthy to walk with him. And then he sends the blessed Holy Spirit and makes you strong in the Lord and gives you the Word of God to feed on and enables you to walk with him. Whether at home or in the market, on the street, work, play, the very air of the walk shows that we've been redeemed from the dead by the blood of the everlasting covenant. And finally, we're to go as crusaders. King Arthur and his knights were, of course, that's myth, you understand. But they picture what I'm talking about. They were crusaders. They went out to redress the wrongs that were out there. And when they would learn of a wrong, why, Lancelot or one of the shiny knights would go out and be the champion for that and redress that wrong and make it right. Well, precious hearts, do you realize that there's a war out there? And if you go with God, you're going to fight. Paul said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And having done all to stand in the evil day, withstand the enemy. He wants to beat you. God wants you to beat him. And in Christ, you're more than a conqueror." See? That's the precious thing. We don't have to fight wondering. We can fight knowing. See? But there is a battle. If you want to go with God, you're going to have to learn to fight the good fight of faith. Now that's all represented. And with that, I'll close this series on the sufferings of Christ. We'll stand and be dismissed.